Hear God's word from Paul to the Philippians. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times, and sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. And those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. And all they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of a high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. My dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy and fill me with such pride. Don't waver. Stay on track. Steady in God. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. It's been a painful week this week, hasn't it? Not the first, not the last. Yesterday, as I was working out, I ran into a young man that I admire so much. Incredibly hard worker, working multiple jobs. He's one of the swim instructors, and the way he works with those kids is a continual inspiration. He was feeling pretty low yesterday, and he said, "This has been a rough week." He said, "My parents are Muslim immigrants. New Zealand is supposed to be one of the safest places in the whole world. And the fact that someone would do that overwhelms me." And you add on top of that, then the news hitting about all the bribes that wealthy people are using to get their kids into colleges. The very people who are telling everyone else, "Hey, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Just work harder." My friends, if we feel like the system is rigged, it's not our imagination, sadly. But it's also not something new. And it impacts so many different places in so many different ways, and continues to. And so if we're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, it's not a surprise. I mean, you think back in time, those of you who are baseball fans, some of you may or may not be aware of the fact that in the early days of baseball, before there were stadiums, and they had permanent seats in the outfield, well, teams were permitted to erect temporary bleachers or just simply put a rope around if a large crowd was expected. And any ball hit into that area was just ruled a ground rule double. And so when Ty Cobb was managing the Tigers and a power-hitting team was visiting, he'd have the ground crew apparently set up these temporary bleachers, turning balls that might otherwise have been home runs into ground rule doubles. There's just one of, yeah, right? Wait, that's baseball. They're not supposed to cheat in that. But there's so many examples in so many unexpected areas and so many unexpected ways where we see things that are presented to us as being, you know, very fair, very equitable, very honorable, that don't turn out to be so much. And it can be so frustrating because we want to believe that everyone has a chance at the big dream. We want to believe that we can all accomplish something. But that's where we also get a lot of confusion. We also get a lot of misinformation about what is important, about what makes us valuable, about what it means to be a winner and be successful. And it leads to all kinds of suffering and to all kinds of pain, and even in unexpected ways. Some of you might be surprised. You've heard about astronaut Buzz Aldrin, and he's kind of famous, second man to step on the moon. And I mean, goodness gracious, if that's not an example of success, right? Here is somebody who worked so hard to get up there to be one of the first men on the moon. How amazing is that? Well, apparently, sometime back in an interview with NBC's Today program, he told about all of his years of education, the hard work, the dreams, the discipline he spent preparing for that mission with Neil Armstrong. And during the interview, he also told, though, that he later had an emotional breakdown with a very slow and painful recovery. I don't think most of us were even really aware of that, right? But it happened. And during the interview, he was saying that the crisis didn't have anything to do with the moon or with his space travel or his weightlessness or any of those kinds of things. Rather, he kept saying that the breakdown resulted from the terrible disillusionment he felt after working so hard, achieving every goal set before him, and then finding it all totally empty when it was over. He was kind of in this place of like, okay, now what, right? Now what? And you know, you don't have to be Buzz Aldrin and make it to the moon to have those feelings and have those moments. I think a number of us, even right here, have had goals that we've set for ourselves, we've accomplished them, and it's like, now what? They didn't satisfy in quite the way we hoped. There's still something missing, and we can be confused about even knowing what it is. This is a story of two young women who had jobs in a big city, and one selling radio time for a popular FM station. She does an excellent job. She's extremely well paid, but she hates her work. And her unhappiness just spills over into every aspect of the rest of her life. Even as she's questioning, wait, I'm in a good job. I'm making good money. How come I'm not happy? And then in comparison, another woman, also working in the radio field, but producing a radio program for the blind, who actually loves her work and loves her life. And what's the difference? The second young lady has a sense of purpose in her life. She knows that she's not just doing something to put herself ahead, not just doing something to meet her own selfish needs, but she's doing something that makes a difference in somebody else's life. And that's something that is often just washed off. I mean, how many have grown up with parents who get frustrated with their kids who want to do something meaningful in life that helps others? And we get called, that's totally impractical. Now you need to study hard, you need to get good grades, you need to go to the best possible college, and you need to get a job where you get well paid. That's what you need to do, right? That's the message that all of us are sent all the time. That's what success looks like. But that's one of the many false messages that we get all the time. And that's not what our lives are about. And even that many, many years ago, here is Paul sharing with his followers, don't buy it. Don't fall for that trap. Those are lies out there. Those people out there, all they want is Easy Street. All they want is to just cruise through, have everything they want and need, and just play. You know, it's like this woman who, she had a choice between going and sitting with a man who was dying or go out to dinner and have a good time. She decided, I'm going out to dinner. I mean, that's the easy street. People want to avoid the difficult. They want to do what's in their own best self-interest. But the thing is, contrary to what they have us believe, that is not the route to satisfaction. That is not the route to joy. That is not living the life that God created us to live. There are many of us who probably feel like failures because we're not doing that. We may feel conflicted at times because we're living in this world that from every angle is telling us we should aspire to these things. We should be buying these fancy stuff. And that if we're not, we're failures. Well, guess what? It's not how God sees it. If you are keeping your eyes on Him, if you're doing what you can to live a life that is honorable, where you are caring for other people, where you're looking out for your neighbors, where you're finding ways to help people even at your own expense, your own sacrifice, where you actually recognize the ones vilified as being, ooh, they're dangerous, as your brother and your sister, then you, my friend, are an amazing, beautiful success. That path is narrow. There is a reason there were only 12 disciples, even though thousands and thousands and thousands would come to hear Jesus teach and preach. And even of those 12, we know that one still sold out. It's not easy taking the path that's different from everyone else. And it's very easy for us to get discouraged, which is why it's important for us to realize that we do, in fact, have choices. Earlier this morning during the prayer request, we were talking about how difficult it is for us to give up our ability to choose, especially as we get older and we're more reliant on others. We like having our own way. We like being in control. And what we don't realize is that we always have a degree of control. But that control is not what we often think it is. The control comes in choosing the path that God has set us upon, which is letting go of our fears, which is letting go of the need to please others, letting go of the need to be viewed as a success by the world, letting go of feeling we have to have a comfortable, perfect life, but instead choosing God, choosing to stay the course, choosing to embrace whatever life throws at us, knowing that God is still with us. That's where our power is. When we're not living for ourselves, but living for others, with our eyes on God. But it's still our choice, my friends. I pray that we all might choose God's way. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, each week we hear new sad news. Each week we see institutions and people that we thought were somehow going the right way fall. We wish we lived in a perfect world, but we live in a broken world. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep us centered in you, keep us focused, keep us faithful. In your name we pray. Amen.